If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTradio.live. Clear and concise. This is the Shannon Joy Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York State. So good to be with all of you tonight. We have so much to get to. World War III. We're hearing it everywhere. Nuclear edition. It is all over the news media. We are seeing increased tensions between Vladimir Putin and Russia and Ukraine. NATO is banging those war drums, and Lindsey Graham just cannot wait for it. It's almost as if they are salivating at the prospect of another world war dominating the headlines. Do you guys ever wonder? So clearly, I am not pro-war. I think most people listening to the sound of my voice tonight would prefer to avoid that type of conflict and that type of loss of human life potentially. But do you guys ever wonder, maybe it's just me, but do you ever wonder how far up the chain the kabuki theater, the WWE style wrestling really goes? Like, we know in the United States of America and in most Western democracies that both of the approved political factions or political parties are captured, right? They're on the same team. They pretend to fight with one another, but they both serve the same masters. These organizations and individuals and gazillionaires and bazillionaires at the global level, all embedded in Western democracies across the world, right? Pulling the strings, controlling things, and also controlling politicians. It's very evident to people. And we go through this process. We shuffle to the voting booth every 2 years. It's like a ritual that we engage in because we believe, or we're led to believe, or we don't really believe, but we don't want to say it out loud, that we live in a democracy, right? Even though we know the elections are rigged, we know that the two parties are essentially the same. They just trade power every 2 to 4 years. Like, we get all of this. But you ever wonder how far up the chain it goes? Witnessing and observing the complete sham that is Ukraine, right? A quote-unquote war, a reality TV war. They're having symphonies and concerts and benefit concerts, and Vogue magazine is heading over for a photo op, and you have these ridiculous pictures of BBC reporters that are trying to look like they're embedded on the front lines. This came out yesterday on Twitter. This ridiculous BBC reporter is in like war gear. He's on the ground and he has his microphone, and you see in the background a regular woman, middle-aged woman with a pocketbook, and she's kind of peering over like, what is this moron doing? Why is he laying on the ground, right? Because it's just a photo op. And yes, indeed, there are Ukrainians suffering at the hands of their own government with whatever they're doing over there. There's chaos and destruction. But I mean, is it really a war, right? I mean, here we have two of the most corrupt people on the face of the planet, corrupt countries. Vladimir Putin is a maniacal lunatic. I mean, he's vicious, ex-KGB, his history a mile long, right? He says things that conservatives like to hear every so often, but really, what's that agenda? Going up against the most corrupt country on the face of the planet. Okay, CIA, they launched the coup, Orange Revolution years and years ago. I mean, it's just, Ukraine is a money laundering machine. The bureaucrats and the corporate class in Ukraine handed that country and the people of that country over to the New World Order. And it is where everyone dumps their money. They launder their money. They stuff their pockets. And so war is very profitable for the elite class. But it seems they can't really stomach actual war. So they prefer now the fake war, which actually bodes well for us if we are heading towards World War III, nuclear edition, right? Because maybe it won't be too bad. Maybe they'll drop a couple nukes in a desert or in the middle of the ocean. call it a nuclear war, freak everyone out, scare the pants off of humanity, and launder another $1 trillion and call it a day. Let's be honest. They do enough killing in the hospitals. They do enough killing with their mRNA spike protein vaccines. They are very efficient at killing human beings in a very clean way, by the way. Nursing homes, lack of care, the death protocol, remdesivir plus the ventilator, denying ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, launching, which is now an established fact, a bioweapon, gain-of-function research out of Wuhan lab, funded by the federal government, NIH, and Anthony Fauci. They created COVID-19, and it wasn't novel, by the way. Everything they said was a lie. Fake pandemic, fake war, and hopefully, for the sake of humanity, we'll have fake nuclear war as well. Because we can't trust anything right now. We can't trust anything they say, either political class, our institutionalized leaders, our bureaucrats, they're captured. They're captured. And so the question is, what the hell do we do about it, right? I mean, what is the point of coming on the air every evening and scaring the pants off of you? There's a lot to be scared of out there, isn't there? What are you afraid of tonight? Looking at the headlines, and you know, you're being fed this from right-wing news outlets, left-wing news outlets, Alex Jones, whatever conspiracy theorist you favor today, and even people who are very credible. Organizations which are very credible are putting out really good information. People we trust, like Rainer Fulmich, who was on the program, Jeffrey Tucker, who was on with me yesterday, Dr. Malone, Bhattacharya, Martin Kulldorff, Pierre Corey, JFK Jr. Tons of reporting. Daniel Horowitz, he put out a story today that they are now changing the formulas for the flu shot, and they're putting the mRNA toxic spike proteins or technologies or whatever in all the flu shots. And they're going in and they're going to change all of the regular childhood vaccine. They can't get the kids vaccinated with the mRNA COVID-19 version, so they're just going to retrofit it into every other vaccine. Polio, DTaP, measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, you name it. And this is all very credible, right? They're injecting millions of COVID-19 vaccines into cattle and chickens so that it's in our food supply. And, you know, it's very scary. I get it. Vaccine mosquitoes. Okay. I mean, so it's scary. There is a lot to be afraid of out there. There is a lot to be afraid of. What are you afraid of? And I think this is the beginning of enlightenment and awakening among the people, because see, we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be constantly fearful. You shouldn't be fearful. You shouldn't be laying awake at night thinking about these things. I shouldn't be laying awake at night thinking about these things. Yes, they're out there. And yeah, we got to confront them. And you know what? We have to win. But we cannot win if we're afraid. We cannot win if we're afraid. And too many of you and too many of us are afraid. We live in a constant state of panic and fear. And a lot of that is fomented by what we consume, the news we consume, the talkers that we listen to, the thinkers that we read. We have got to put this in perspective, because you will not add a single moment to your life for fear. Having anxiety, being anxious, being afraid is not going to add a penny to your pocketbook or a moment to your life. You could walk out the door today, get hit by a bus, and it's over. So the question is, are you going to live? The reason that we have not yet begun to effectively fight back against this is because we are afraid. Every level. Those of you who are operating at the local level, the state level, those of you who are not part of the resistance, but you agree with the premise. And those who are at the top, the Rainer Fulmiches, people launching lawsuits and organizing, the folks over at Children's Health Defense, Del Bigtree, RFK Jr., Aaron Seary over at Seary Gilstead. There are so many people at that high up level, but in many cases, they're afraid too, and I can see it in their reporting sometimes. We have to omit that. If you are consuming a program, if you are consuming a newspaper article or a radio show or a television program and you're leaving feeling scared and anxious, riddled with anxiety, with nowhere to go, then that is a clue to you to not tune in, or at least not to ingest it. I came to this revelation. We're going to get to today on the program. We are going to talk about winning. We are going to talk about revolution, which is necessary. And what does an effective revolution look like? What does winning look like? Jeffrey Tucker and I last night on this show began that discussion. And that is where this discussion needs to go. But first, we have to deal with the fear. It's not permitted on this program. I won't permit myself to be fearful. And believe me, the fear creeps in. And I say, away with you, Satan. It's not from the Lord. And it is not the type of mindset and attitude that will win this revolution and beat these vicious predators who want everything so that you have nothing, so that you won't be happy, okay? That's what we're talking about here. That's why we come together every evening. It's why I come to the radio every evening with you. It's not to just sit here and make money, although I don't make that much, or get famous, although I'm not that famous, right? Or just, I don't know, bloviate. No, I have kids. I want them to be free. I would like to be free myself. And I think you guys feel the same way. That's why we do this. That's why we engage. That's why we have discourse. But I came to this thinking, interestingly enough, for those of you in Europe, Australia, Scotland, wherever you are in the world listening, here in the United States, there is this huge push for a Netflix series called Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer was an American in the 80s, a gay man who was a vicious, brutal serial killer in New York City. And he would lure men into his apartment and kill them, chop them up, hide their body parts in places all over his apartment, and sometimes eat them. Horrible. Horrific, wicked, evil, dark, depraved, just terrible, terrible story. Okay? And it's now being pushed out on Netflix, and I'm seeing it everywhere, and I'm seeing the promos, and my friends are talking about it, and they're like, oh, you should watch this, and it's so terrible, and oh, you know, and it's just, there's all of this buzz around this just freaking dark and depraved exploration into like a homicidal maniac. And I made a decision. It was just a revelation for me. And I'm not a prude. I'll watch R-rated movies. And, you know, I don't usually do this type of stuff, but it just dawned on me because I'm like, okay, well, I'm probably gonna have to watch this because everyone else is watching it. And I'm like, you know what? No. It dawned on me that my mind, my body, my spirit is shaped by what I consume, whether it's food or drink or media or movies. And you know what? I made the decision yesterday and I tweeted about it and I posted it on Facebook and it actually got a lot of play. I'm just not gonna watch it. I'm saying no. I'm saying no to corporate media, to Hollywood, to all of these entities that just want to immerse us in darkness, in evil, in this kind of murky. I just decided, no, I don't want it. I don't want that. And it's the same thing with fear. You just say no. You just decide, I'm not going to be afraid, and live your life. And I think the more Americans and the more people in general who do this and who exercise this, and the faster that we do this, the faster the revolution will come. And it's coming. We come back, we're going to talk about winning. We're going to talk about revolution and what it looks like and what I'm seeing on the horizon, because there is good news. We'll be back in a moment right here on The Shannon Joy Show.
TNT Radio's Dirk Pohlman.
In the Cold War, the Americans had these kind of tankers, which you might know from a James Bond movie where the same thing happened, was shown. But they also, the United States Navy has the USS Jimmy Carter, which is a dedicated spy submarine, which can transport mini subs and swimmer delivery vehicles. It can rip off cables in the sea or destroy pipelines, whatever. It's a dedicated submarine for these intelligence operation towers. But we were talking about these Italian mini subs, which were transported to their areas of operation by American ships. And as far as I recall, Ulla Tunanda, one of the ships is the Mormax guy. So the Americans had dedicated mini sub transporting tankers, which on the outside looked like tankers, and the inside there was a sub, right?
They let it out, and then they went further up to deliver the oil or whatever. And then on the way back, they picked it up again. So it was enough time for this midget submarine to do the maintaining work and then in the 1980s to show up to make the Swedes hysteric, which would actually happen.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at SalemNow.com.
Since the day I stopped drinking, my life has gotten better and better. I can't take any credit for it. It just seems that without alcohol, I think better. I'm more careful with money. I watch what I say. I don't get into trouble like I did when I was drinking. It's scary trying to walk through life alone. And today, I have that very distinct feeling that I don't ever have to be alone again.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
This is where you get your daily ration of high-velocity conversation. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Fascinating interviews this week on the Shannon Joy Show right here on TNT. On Tuesday, we welcomed Reiner Fulmich into the Joy Virtual Studio. Fascinating interview with Reiner on this topic of winning, fighting back and winning. He's doing it through the legal system, which presents all sorts of problems, but also opportunities. And we also talked to Jeffrey Tucker yesterday on The Shannon Joy Show, another fascinating interview. These guys are giants. They are the tip of the spear in terms of the resistance. And I want to invite you, if you missed those interviews on The Shannon Joy Show or any of your favorite TNT radio shows, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're also on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. So there is no reason to miss out on any of these fantastic interviews. And two main ideas, I think, from both Reiner and Jeffrey. Reiner Fulmich, as you know, was the founder of the Corona Investigative Committee. He's now moved onto another investigative committee that he is going to headquarter here in the United States of America. And he is looking at fighting back, building a extensive body of evidence and witness testimony from some of the most brilliant scientists, doctors, experts on the face of the planet. I mean, the work that he has done over the past 2.5 years is frankly unbelievable. And so he is looking at this from the perspective of, yeah, we are up against a monster, a monstrous organization, unelected at the global level. They have gazillions of dollars. They have corrupted so many of our democratic institutions in Western democracies across the globe. And they are now putting in their plans. They want full global domination and they want full control over the bodies and lives of every human being. And that's just the way it is. And they're megalomaniacs and they have God complexes. So they actually think they can do it. That's what we're dealing with here. These people are lunatics. I mean, absolute maniacal death cult leaders. Just think of Jim Jones with $700 gazillion and access to like every power lever on the face of the planet. And that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with. And so Reiner is looking at, you know, class action lawsuits, grand jury deliberations, and presenting this evidence. And he is a proponent of the decentralized grand jury, which I think is the way to go. I think a Nuremberg 2.0 centralized in like Geneva is too easily corrupted. Centralized in Washington, D.C., too easily corrupted. Centralized at your state capital, too easily corrupted. The only way that this works is for individuals at the local level to do this in their own local communities and present this in front of grand juries. That's something we're going to be exploring on the show. But in terms of Reiner, right, the mission isn't to present all of these bad, horrible things, curl up in the fetal position, and cry yourself to sleep. Okay, that's not the point. The work that they've done over the past 2.5 years is meant to document these atrocities, put it on the record, present it in a grand jury style to judges and attorneys, save it for posterity for you to then take up and use from your corner of the world. And that's the critical element here. Same with Jeffrey Tucker, right? He's built Brownstone Institute, and he is committed to never letting our politicians in the U.S., our bureaucrats in the U.S., the expert class, the intellectual class, ever forget what happened in this country. And he is using his expertise as an economist and an editor to build a platform where independent people can come in and do this important research and continue to push it out and continue to influence people in academia, in the political classes, and in government classes. It's very important, right? But he asked yesterday, what does revolution look like? What does revolution in industrialized, educated, somewhat wealthy, not so much anymore because they're detonating our economy, but what does it look like? What does revolution look like in the 21st century? What does it look like in Europe and in the United States of America and in Canada? And we're beginning to see, in Europe, you're seeing just the full-on revolts. You're seeing the massive protests. We don't have that here in the U.S. It's not happening. It's a different kind of revolution. But it is happening. And I think we need a little bit of both, to be quite frank. What does winning look like? And see, the key point and the key takeaway from both of these gentlemen who I talked to on this radio show earlier this week is that we have to start talking about winning. We have to start talking about winning. We have to stop thinking like slaves and acting like slaves and being fearful, whether it's of the Democratic Party regaining power or staying in power. if you're afraid of the coronavirus or the vaccine or the shedding spike protein, if you're afraid of the UN and the New World Order and transhumanism, maybe you're afraid of speaking up because you're afraid you'll lose your job, or maybe you're afraid your neighbors won't like you, right? How many layers of fear are you buried under tonight? And I'm talking to you, my dear listeners, because you are the difference maker. This all depends on you. Ron DeSantis isn't going to save you. Donald Trump isn't going to save you. Jeffrey Tucker isn't going to save you. Reiner Fulmich is not going to save you. Your favorite talk radio host is not going to save you. It is a slave mentality. The reason that we, the people, are being enslaved is because we have a slave mentality. We think like slaves. We act like slaves. We operate from a posture of fear and submission every single day. Just the fact that you aren't out on the streets angry as hell, that your wealth is being stripped from you, your health is being stripped from you, your children's future is being obliterated in front of your eyes, and you are sitting there doing nothing. I don't want to be hard on you, but the posture should not be, oh, I'm so sad, oh, I'm so fearful, oh, I'm so scared. The posture should be anger, righteous indignation. This is not okay, and I'm not going to take it anymore, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to stop begging a politician who I know is corrupt. I'm going to stop begging a judge or an attorney to come and save me when I know that the court system is corrupt. I am going to stop foolishly believing that if I shuffle to a polling booth every 2 years and pull a lever, that's somehow going to change things. That is delusional thinking. It is the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over. Our rituals that we engage in, we've got to stop thinking that way. If we stop acting like slaves, they'll stop enslaving us. Really interesting concept, isn't it? What does the revolution look like? First and foremost, enough people, not all, enough people in any given community or state or country who are awake, who throw off the chains, who abandon the fear and the slave mentality, and they stand up and they say no. Enough people, 10%, 15%, maybe 17%. And the revolution has begun. And believe me, people will pick up on it very fast. But we need to get active in our local community. When we come back, I'm going to give you concrete examples of this happening right now, right before our very eyes. It's not disseminated in mainstream news media or even in our alternative independent media, right? Because it's not sexy enough. We want DeSantis. We want to win an election. We want someone to ride in on a white horse and save us. Not happening. The revolution looks a little bit like the middle finger, to be quite frank. We come back, I'm going to explain right here on The Shannon Joy Show.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
The CCP is opening police departments outside of China, including in New York, to monitor Chinese citizens living abroad, and are the latest chapter in operations from the regime to export its persecutions of dissidents. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is buying $290 million worth of drugs as part of its long-standing ongoing efforts to be better prepared to save lives following radiological and nuclear emergencies.
If you miss your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT radio.
Would you all like to talk about winning? Doesn't it feel good to come to the radio and talk about winning? Talk about truth and justice. Yes, there can be truth. Yes, there can be justice. There should be justice. We should fight for it. So what does that look like? Well, winning will require revolution, necessarily. And what will revolution look like? Well, what does a decentralized, localized, bottom-up people's revolution really look like? And very simply stated, it kind of just looks like the middle finger, right? It's kind of like, you know what? Netflix, I don't want to watch your evil, depraved depiction of Dahmer because you know what? I don't like the way my soul feels. You know what, Hollywood? I don't like to watch your stuff anymore. The way that you abuse little girls and little children and the sexualization of little children, I'm just not going to consume it anymore. Disney, meh. We don't like your woke ideology and how you push it on little children. A lot of this is just consumer choices. It's simply deciding not to consume. Whether it's media or, you know, any of these propaganda or manipulation messages that they're sending you on a daily basis. And as you all know, I mean, every media outlet, radio, television, print, 95, 96% of them are owned by very small number of very large centralized banks, six or seven of them, right? So the messaging, you've got to understand that mindset that nearly everything that you read, you see, you hear has an agenda. They want to make you do something, think something, feel a certain way. Do you ever wonder why there are no heroes anymore? There are no good guys. In the last 10 years, most motion pictures have kind of this anti-hero type character that's really bad, but sometimes they do good things. Like there's never really justice. We don't have this type of programming where like the good guy does the right thing at the end of the day and truth and justice win. Like, no, that's not existent in mainstream media. Do you think that's by accident? Of course it's not by accident, because what they want you to think is that justice can never come. Truth will never come. You can never win. Resistance is futile. And it's just embedded into your mind and soul from every outlet. Have you ever listened? Are you listening to your local news every day? Stock market's down, the Dow is down, inflation is up, housing prices, 17 murders, homicides, arson, theft. There's nothing good. Do you think that good things happen on a daily basis? Do you think that ever happens in your community? You wouldn't think so to watch your local news and your national news and the international news. So the beginning is to just reorient your mind. And if you are going to engage and frankly, you know, you have to engage in media. I have to engage in media, but I go in with the armor on, right? I go onto Twitter every day and I'm like, Twitter, how do you want me to feel today? When I consume news, I'm always looking for what is the agenda? What is it that they want to convey to me? Because it's always buried in there, but sometimes it's in plain sight. And as you begin to sharpen your mind, you'll be able to see it yourself. The first step is just knowing, just understanding. Virtually everything that you see, hear, or read has an agenda. I have an agenda. I come to you every evening and I have an agenda for liberty. I want my kids to be free. And so I want to fight for liberty. That's what I want to do. It's my agenda. All right? Everyone has an agenda. You're going to probably get the best information from independent sources. But even independent people sometimes have agendas and sometimes they're nefarious. So you've got to be savvy. Okay? And we have to stop trusting people all the time. We are going to need to trust people at times. I would trust your local community. What you can see and feel and touch in your own local community is what you are going to be able to trust the most, as I think, as we move forward. But yeah, we need to stop thinking like slaves and start thinking. I mean, here's the exercise, right? Stop thinking, who's going to come save me from the big bad NWO or, you know, Klaus Schwab, and start thinking, how will I stop this in my town? Okay. So my good friend called me yesterday and she's talking about these new reports coming out that the United Nations is about to declare the United States of America an apartheid state. And thus, the United States is going to be under the jurisdictions of the UN, and this is with Biden's approval. And UN troops are going to come in the US and they're going to take us all over, okay? And so she's freaking out about that. And the thing, I'm not surprised the UN is doing that. We've known that the UN has dreams of global domination since its inception. That's the whole point. It's a global governing body. So of course they want to declare the United States whatever it is and send in their troops, but we all know how good the UN troops are, not so good. So I don't even know how that would work. But the point is, right, I said to her, like, listen, she wants to go in and do a deep dive and do 17,000 hours of research and then present it on this podcast series. And so everybody knows what the UN is up to. And I'm like, listen, the mindset should be, okay, I'm so scared. The UN is so bad. They want to take over everything and who can save me, to I don't like this, and how am I going to stop this in my community? So you stop thinking, I'm scared, who will save me? And you start thinking, I don't like this. Is it happening in my town? And if it is happening in my town, I don't like it. That would involve having meetings with your local chief of police, your local sheriff's department. That would involve setting up an organization to be a watchdog group to look for outside global influence in your zoning laws or your town bylaws or your village bylaws. And you just set up little organizations and you say to every global plan that they seek to implement locally, you say, you know what? We don't like that. We're not going to do it. No, thank you. Easy as pie. But Shannon, there are laws, but what about the executive order? But what about this? But what about that? No, you can do it. There are examples. There are a plethora of examples on how this is done. Local organization, bottom up, refusal to comply with unjust laws, and in some cases, just say no. Do not implement. That's all that you can do. And that is what the revolution will look like. This is a revolution. 4% headline on NBC to this day. Only 4% of the entire population of the United States of America, less than 4% actually, have gotten their bivalent COVID booster. That, my friends, is a revolution. Okay? They're peeing their pants. This is a huge deal. It was not supposed to go this way. And now a growing majority of Americans are questioning all of the childhood vaccinations and the flu shot and the shingles vaccination and the whole kit and caboodle. Why? Because they have destroyed their credibility among regular people. And though it's not being reported in the headlines, people are talking about it in their communities. Old-fashioned telephone, conversations with neighbors, and they're like, you know what? I don't want to get this. That is a revolution. In Canada, of all places, you want some hard, concrete examples. I will give you some. This is my favorite. This was just reported 3 days ago. This hasn't gotten any play, but this is astounding. This, again, guys, is the revolution. Canadian provinces respond to the federal gun confiscation plea is to pound sand. This was reported in NRA ILA. It's an organization to protect gun rights. So you all heard about Justin Trudeau and his super scary, terrible gun-grabbing executive order that he put out in like May. Right? And that's the end of the headlines, right? The conservative media is going to say Justin Trudeau, Canada, he's seizing their guns. He put out an executive order, and that's the end of the story. Be very, very afraid. It's coming to the US. They're stealing your guns. They're coming after your guns, okay? And that's the end of the story. That's the end of the conservative media coverage of what went down in Canada, which is insane. Because in Canada, that executive order is officially in the trash bin. It's on fire. No one is following it. It is a paper tiger. Why? Because provinces all over Canada have refused to comply with the executive order. They basically gave Justin Trudeau the middle finger. We're not doing it. Just like 99% of Americans in the United States of America have now given the middle finger to Pfizer and Moderna and their bivalent booster for COVID-19. Just like the 34,000 students at LA Unified School District a year ago who gave Governor Gavin Newsom the middle finger when they refused to get vaccinated despite his order and the LA Unified School District's order that they need to be vaccinated in order to attend school. By the way, they did that on December 3rd. By January, LA Unified backed off the vaccine mandate, promising it would come again in the fall of this year, 2022, and it never did. Why? Because Californians said, you know what? Middle finger to you too. We're not doing it. That, my friends, is the revolution. It's not sexy. I know. I know you want a hero. I know you want a big court case and a big judge's decision, and you want it just to be slapped down so that you can consume it and feel good about yourself. I love you. I love you guys. I'm being honest with you. I know you want freedom. And I know most of you want to be saved. But I'm telling you, we have to save ourselves. And you can do it. You can do it. You just get up in your own community and you get to work. It's as easy as that. It's really not that complicated, right? Stop complaining and get up and attend meetings. Form a group. Do it because it's right, not because you're getting credit for it, not because it's going to make you famous or whatnot, whatever. Just do it because it's the right thing to do. Get up, go to meetings, find your people, build a group, organize something. Do it every week and then do it for the rest of your life. And if you do that, you will be free. Couple hours a week for the rest of your life that you will commit to being a citizen, that you will commit to being a protector of liberty. If enough of us do that in towns and villages across the country, we're going to win. We're going to win. I have more examples for you when we come back on the Shannon Joy Show. So tune in.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
So it turns out that if you're a stressed out coffee drinker, you're in luck. You might be helping yourself stay healthy and maybe even helping yourself live longer. I kid you not. There are two separate studies. Studyfinds.org says researchers from the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine say the immune system can actually benefit from a little stress. Although stress plays a role in a number of health issues, the study finds it may also protect the body in certain circumstances. Experiments were conducted on mice. The message is that a little bit of stress is good in your life, but you want to be stressed in the right way. I don't know what that means. The other study says drink 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day for longer life and better heart health. It was authored by the head of clinical electrophysiology research at the Baker Heart and Diabetes Research Institute in Melbourne, Australia. The results suggest that mild to moderate intake of ground, instant, and decaffeinated coffee should be considered part of a healthy lifestyle. Coffee and stress. Who knew? Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A social credit system was introduced in China in 2014. China's social credit system is a nationwide government program for regulation of citizens' behavior based on a point system. Under this system, citizens are assessed using data collected from court documents, government or corporate records, and even from neighbors and observers. Citizens with higher scores are eligible for bank loans, free medical checkups, and other services in demand. Points are deducted for traffic violations, defaulting on loan payments, smoking in non-smoking zones, buying or playing too many video games, posting false news stories online, and other transgressions deemed appropriate by authorities. Citizens with bad social credit scores can be denied essential services, and blacklists are available for employers, educational institutions, and credit providers to reference. When introduced by China's State Council, it was announced the system would favor the trustworthy to roam everywhere under heaven, while making it hard for the discredited to take a single step.
You have the right to know. The right to know about culture. The right to know about the economy. The right to know about technology and to know about sports. You have the right to know about education and politics and the weather. You have the right to know what's happening abroad and in your backyard. But above all else, you have the right to know that this right is under attack, and we must work to protect it. Because in order to be free, we must be informed. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
Big pharma corruption, medical corruption, government corruption, political corruption, climate change corruption. The threats to your happiness are many, but that's where we can help. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Our truth shall keep you free.
I want you all to really process what happened in California last year with those 36,000 students, actually. It was 36,000 students in LA Unified School District that were just like, we're not taking the vaccine. They didn't care. The school's like, you have to take a vaccine in order to come to school. And they're like, no, middle finger, we're not taking it. Okay? It wasn't a judge's order. It wasn't a piece of legislation. It wasn't an electoral victory. It wasn't the election of a certain politician. It was just simply not being afraid and refusing to comply with unjust whatever laws, mandates, statutes, executive orders. I don't really care. You shouldn't either. If it's unjust and it violates your bodily autonomy, don't do it. That's why I didn't wear the mask. New York State, I was probably the only girl in the entire state that never wore a mask, save like one or two times for friends, because I'm a nice girl. Got me arrested in New York, but I wasn't going to do it. And I'm still here. Right? It's not that scary to stand up and just, it's called setting your boundaries. Okay? Like, we've been conditioned to be weak and afraid and scared of our own shadow, afraid to stand up in a variety of different ways. And I think we're learning. I think that we are much savvier as a people, especially here in the US, than we were 2.5 years ago. In some ways, I'm thankful. It's so awful what has happened to us, but it has had the effect and the impact of waking people up, the scales falling from their eyes and seeing truth. Things that I said 5 years ago to people, and I call it the saucer eyes. Their eyes get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're like, I know that I'm blowing their mind when I'm talking about the Republicans and the Democrats being in the same team, right? So that's 5 years ago. Today, they're like, oh yeah, totally, we get it. I mean, people just pick up really fast. And it's because we have been we've had a front row seat to the full on corruption, tyranny, evil, destruction by our own institutions and our own government for the past 2.5 years. We are witness to it and changes us as a people. And so we've gotten our bearings now. And I think that's where we are in the stage. I mean, we were hammered in 2020, and now we've kind of gained our bearings, and we know that there are some more bad things that are coming, but we're girding up our loins and we're getting prepared for the revolution. But I love this example. So I told you, you know, the LA time or the LA Unified story, less than 4% uptake of the bivalent booster. I mean, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. They're never going to be able to regain that public trust. I mean, that is huge. It's a big deal, guys. But even in the early days of COVID-19, Ron DeSantis and Kristi Noem, they were governors, red state governors here in the state. They refused to implement multiple CDC directives and lockdown orders, a variety of different executive orders, and they were fine, right? Steve McLaughlin was a Rensselaer County executive here in New York State, very good friend of mine. In fact, the only gentleman that I think is worthy of the governorship of New York, unfortunately he's not running, but he is the county executive of Rensselaer County, which is a county neighboring Albany, New York, in the dark days of 2020. Steve McLaughlin refused to implement Andrew Cuomo's deadly executive order that you all know about. This was the executive order that was written by Andrew Cuomo and followed by every nursing home in every county in the state, save one. And that was Rensselaer County, Steve McLaughlin. And he ordered that COVID-19 positive patients be injected into nursing homes, not nursing home residents who had COVID-19, like keeping them. No, he forced them to move from hospitals, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, and, you know, people who were not residents at the nursing homes, and they basically just dumped them into nursing homes for a very short period of time, causing tens of thousands of deaths in nursing homes across New York State. It was devastating. Janice Dean has been on the front lines of this one in New York State, and that's not over. Okay, he has blood on his hands. One county executive, Steve McLaughlin of Rensselaer County, refused to comply. And he did it loudly, he did it publicly, and he saved thousands of lives in his county. Oh, and by the way, the next year, he won his election in a very purple state in New York by a landslide. Okay? Standing up, refusing to comply with unjust laws. And this is what they did in Canada. This story is phenomenal. Okay? From Canada last week came a heartwarming story of how certain Canadian jurisdictions are responding to Trudeau's gun banning executive orders, legislations, whatever they are. So if you remember, Justin Trudeau issued essentially a gun ban, a gun grab in Canada. And that's the last you heard of it, right? Oh, everybody now thinks that the guns are being confiscated in Canada. They're not, okay? And it started with a gentleman named Tyler Shandro. Tyler is the Minister of Justice and Solicitor General for the Conservative government in the Canadian province of Alberta. And he recently tweeted a copy of the August 19 letter from Trudeau's Fauci of gun control. He's the minister of the minister in charge of implementing Trudeau's gun buyback and confiscation. Okay, so Tyler tweeted out a copy of his letter, and in the letter, Mendocino, who is the Fauci of gun control in Canada, asks for Shandro's support in implementing the buyback program, and the intent is to begin collecting prohibited firearms by the end of 22, and it will require a collaborative and concerted effort. All orders of government will need to work together and comply to ensure that the buyback program, blah, 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 right? That's the implementation part of Trudeau's decree, all right? And so that was the end of the story, but you know what? Tyler Shandro said not so fast, okay? And he responded publicly and loudly with this. Alberta is not legally obligated and will not offer any provincial resources to the federal government as it seeks to confiscate lawfully acquired firearms, said Shandro in a letter response. And then at a press conference, he was blunt in expressing his unequivocal opposition to such partnerships and indeed the entire federal program. This is a politically motivated confiscation, pure and simple, one that will do nothing to make Alberta a safer place. And so I responded to Mendocino by telling him that no, Alberta will not assist in the federal government in this or any federal effort to strip lawfully obtained personal property from our residents. Bravo. But Shannon, that's just one province. It's just one rogue cowboy from Alberta. This can't possibly have happened across Canada. Could it have? Yes. You see, courage is contagious. Standing up and refusing to comply with unjust laws has the tendency to inspire other people to do the same. And that's exactly what happened. After Alberta, just 2 days after the press conference, the Minister of Corrections, Policing and Public Safety in the neighboring province of Saskatchewan formally notified the commanding officer of the RCMP that jurisdiction that the government of Saskatchewan does not support and will not authorize the use of provincially funded resources for any process that is connected to the federal government's buyback program, which is the gun grab, adding that we do not and will not support initiatives that only impact the law-abiding hunters and sport shooters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so then you have Saskatchewan, but wait, there's more. Kevin Gordson, Manitoba's Minister of Justice and Attorney General, announced that his province was following Alberta and Saskatchewan. In Manitoba's view, any buyback program cannot further erode precious provincial police resources, blah, 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 blah. Okay? This is called setting up boundaries, all right? And so now we have a full-on revolt. There are other, I believe, Ottawa is now involved and Ontario is now involved, and this is gaining a ton of steam. Now, this is because the local people in Canada have been rising up and organizing locally ever since the truckers revolt that we covered here on the show years ago. But this is the point. This is it, guys. This is the revolution. It's not that sexy, but it is going to work. And I just hope that more and more people can embrace this mindset, because this is the way forward. This is the future. All right, folks, we run out of time. Thank you so much for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all again right here on TNT.